$3.63. That's the current hourly wage for assembling iPhones in China. In the United States, the equivalent entry-level factory worker earns nearly $17, over 4.5 times more. But here's the thing. It only takes about 11 hours to assemble a modern iPhone, which means the total labor cost to assemble an iPhone 16 Pro in China is just $40, barely 4% of its selling price. In other words, even if Apple did pay American wages, even if it passed this entire cost on to consumers, and even if it had no way to automate the process and save some money, the price of an iPhone would still only increase by $146, less than what many spend upgrading their storage. And for Apple, achieving independence from Beijing would be worth a fortune. In November 2022, the company lost $1 billion a week after China's extreme COVID-zero policies led to protests at its most important factory. In the span of 1 week in 2023, the Wall Street Journal reported that China banned the use of iPhones for official business, and US Congressman Mike Gallagher attacked the company for yielding to China's demands, which he called, quote, unthinkable corporate cowardice. To Washington, Apple is too accommodating of China. To Beijing, it's not accommodating enough. Whatever it does to appease one country provokes the other. The only real solution is to leave. All of which is to say, $146 might be a small price to pay for Apple's escape. If only it were that simple. 146 is the wrong number to focus on because the cost of labor is not the source of Apple's dependence on China. Chinese labor, after all, has grown considerably more expensive over the past two decades. For those $3.63, Apple can buy 2 hours of Indian labor. There, English is an official language, and its population is now even larger than China's. Yet, despite these advantages, only about 7% of the world's iPhones are made in India. Any country can assemble the iPhone. But Apple doesn't need to make an iPhone. It needs to make 590 every minute. It needs to make 35,000 per hour, 849,000 per day, 5.9 million per week. That's the challenge facing Apple, and the number to focus on. Out of 200 countries on Earth, just one is able to manufacture the iPhone at its current price, scale, and to its exacting standards. Others supplement production, but none could replace China, which is still home to about 90% of the company's manufacturing. Delivering any product, never mind the most successful consumer device in history, every September, like clockwork, is no easy feat. And there are two additional complications. First, demand fluctuates wildly throughout the year. Nearly twice as many iPhones are sold between September and Christmas as the slow spring months of April, May, and June. Second, Apple hates holding inventory. CEO Tim Cook once called it, quote, fundamentally evil. You're in the dairy business, he said. If it gets past its freshness date, you have a problem. In 2012, the market research firm Gartner estimated that Apple churns through its stock 74 times a year, meaning the average iPhone is in the company's possession for just 5 days from the time it takes off in a 747 in central China to the time it's sold to a customer in Pittsburgh. 5 days. And that number has likely gone down over the past decade of Cook's leadership. It's one thing to produce 200 million new iPhones a year. It's another to make each one within 5 days of when it's needed. To accommodate such highly variable demand without holding inventory, Apple's manufacturing partners like Foxconn must double their supply of labor, hiring as many as a million additional workers in the lead-up to September before quickly dismissing them around the new year. Most governments, usually eager to boost employment, would consider this more a liability than an asset. According to Patrick McGee in his new book Apple in China, Foxconn has at times employed 1.7 million people. Walmart, the world's largest private employer, has 2.1 million. So imagine what would happen if Walmart laid off half its entire workforce every December, throwing them onto the streets without severance. Unemployment offices would be overwhelmed, public budgets drained, and families plunged into a sudden traumatic state of poverty, each and every year. But not in China. For nearly as long as the PRC has existed, Chinese citizens have been legally tied to the same region as their parents, trapped, essentially, in place. Beginning in the 1980s, Beijing loosened these requirements, allowing people to move freely around the country. But with a catch. You can now work anywhere, but you can still only receive government services where your family is officially registered. Say, for example, you were born in a rural part of Gansu province, whose per capita GDP is just $7,000, about the same as Libya. The government won't stop you from working in a factory outside Beijing, where the per capita GDP is over 4 times higher, about the same as Estonia. But it won't allow you to use those Estonia-level hospitals, daycares, or schools. The massive wage differentials between rural and urban areas pull migrants toward factories, while the legal restrictions prevent them from gaining a foothold in cities, trapping them in this vulnerable, transient state. By law, they can give, but never take. This is not just exploitative in the usual low-wage, low-worker protection sense. Cheap labor and lax regulations, after all, can be found just as easily in the Philippines, Bangladesh, or India. No, far more important to Apple, it's exploitative in the exact way its high-demand volatility, low-inventory business demands. It's enormously flexible. This permanent underclass of 300 million or so migrant workers is always at the ready, yet never able to escape their condition, making them easy to hire and easy to fire. Factories raise wages during busy months, after which most workers return to their hometowns, fall back on lower-paid gigs like farming, and wait until the next iPhone is introduced. For Foxconn, the tedious tasks assigned to workers, the brutal military-like routines, the 12-hour shifts, and the drab concrete environment are features, not bugs. It doesn't want to keep workers satisfied because it doesn't want them to stay. These jobs are disposable by design. The average employee leaves after just 68 days, according to an internal memo discovered by Patrick McGee. Sooner or later, they need to see their children, who they're almost always forced to leave with grandparents back in their hometowns. Not to mention, they'll eventually need medical care, an ounce of vitamin D, or a breath of fresh air. Another source of cheap, on-demand labor are students. When Foxconn needs some extra hands, local governments bus students in from vocational high schools for 2-, 3-, 6-month, quote, internships, a requirement to graduate. So why does Beijing bend over backwards to help a private American corporation? The answer to that question has a lot to do with the number 50. That's the number of daily business class seats between San Francisco and Shanghai Apple once reserved from United Airlines. Those 50 daily seats, each valued around $4,000, illustrates the company's level of involvement and investment in its supply chain. While most companies outsource manufacturing so they can forget about it, Apple refuses to leave the fate of its most important product in someone else's hands. To maintain its strict quality control, improve efficiency, and meet its tight September deadlines, it sends its engineers on something like 20,000 trips a year to Shanghai alone. As of 2019, it was United's largest customer, accounting for $150 million of its annual revenue. It even convinced the airline to open new routes to Hangzhou and Chengdu. Now, normally, Apple is among the most secretive companies on Earth. It certainly doesn't tolerate corporate espionage or theft of its IP. But when it comes to its manufacturing processes, it has a strong incentive to share its knowledge, to stop Foxconn from becoming too powerful. The more industrial expertise leaks out of its factories, the more competition Foxconn is faced with, and therefore the less leverage it holds over Apple. Between 2007 and 12, Apple's profit margin grew from around 20% to nearly 35%. Largely thanks to Foxconn. Yet, despite enabling that success, Foxconn's profit margin fell. Oddly enough, this means Cupertino's goals are aligned with Beijing's. It too, needless to say, would like Apple to share its knowledge. The company's unrivaled scale can single-handedly propel a Chinese supplier into a position of global dominance. Say, for instance, a Chinese firm wins the contract to supply the display for the next iPhone. That company will not only master its craft, thanks to Apple's hands-on training and high standards, but it will also achieve a whole new economy of scale, allowing it to win orders from other brands around the world. Its costs go down, its production up, and before you know it, that factory has spawned an entire industrial ecosystem. A cluster of expertise, machinery, and suppliers all in one place. These industrial clusters are so much faster, cheaper, and more efficient that they often swallow their entire market. If you're shopping for plastic Santas, you almost have to go to Yiwu, the Chinese city responsible for over half of the world's Christmas decorations. If you need batteries, you go to Huizhou. And if you need a cable, display, or speaker, you go to Zhengzhou, also known as iPhone City. After the incredible success of the iPhone in 2007, Foxconn began shopping for a new location to complement its factory in Shenzhen. At that time, no one would have guessed it would choose this poor, rural, and remote corner of China, next to a one-runway airport surrounded by family farms and tiny villages. It would be like choosing Richwood, West Virginia, population 1,600. A. Why? And B. How could this tiny region possibly support the sudden arrival of 300,000 workers? West Virginia might offer some tax breaks, sure, many U.S. cities and states do. But they'd also have to account for the additional burden these new residents would place on the public budget. More police, more schools, more hospitals, etc. But remember, Chinese cities don't offer these services to migrant workers anyway. They won't even add traffic or fill parks. Foxconn factories are effectively enclosed, isolated cities onto themselves. Which meant for Zhengzhou, the Foxconn factory was pure upside, allowing it to offer the company a deal so good it couldn't resist. Foxconn signed a contract with the Zhengzhou government in July 2010. A state-owned company immediately hired 2,000 workers to work in three shifts 24/7 to complete the factory. Local bureaucrats swiftly bulldozed an existing company standing in its way and even paused construction on the city's subway to move equipment to the factory. By August 2nd, barely 1 month later, Foxconn was up and running. But the government's help didn't stop there. It recruited workers on the public's dime, eliminated corporate taxes, and designated the whole area a special bonded zone free from tariffs. Finally, it built a sprawling new, modern airport directly next door, allowing for fast and convenient shipping of finished iPhones. Meanwhile, Foxconn passed these savings on to Apple. For a time, it even agreed to fix any iPhone that broke within a year of purchase at its own expense, again according to Patrick McGee. Another of Apple's partners, Luxshare Precision, produced AirPods, if you can believe it, at cost, in exchange for publicity. So, is it cost that keeps Apple in China? Is it the tax breaks? Is it the boundless and flexible supply of labor? The absence of real unions? Student interns? Lack of red tape? Or tightly integrated industrial clusters? Yes. But none quite captures the reason for all these things. The close alignment between Apple's business needs and China's economic goals. New Delhi can offer the company more and cheaper labor. Washington, tax credits and top-tier talent. But only Beijing, from the highest levels of the Politburo to the lowest street bureaucrat, will move mountains for the company every step of the way. Sometimes literally. And even or especially at the cost of its own citizens' welfare. Nothing illustrates this better than China's approach to rare earth elements. These minerals are required to make virtually anything electronic, from iPhones to TVs, solar panels, and fighter jets. Despite their name, rare earth elements are anything but rare. The United States, for example, has all it needs, ready to be mined right underneath the ground. The problem is that no one wants to. These elements are extremely toxic. They're also just not very profitable. These are low-margin commodities at the very bottom of the supply chain. Yet China has continued to produce them, putting its economic goals above the health of its people, plants, or rivers. I made a whole second video explaining why, as part of my original series China Actually, all 7 episodes of which are exclusively available on today's sponsor, Nebula. Nebula is the streaming platform myself and many of your favorite channels created as a home for more premium, high-budget, and thoughtful projects. The one I just finished watching is Arctic to Africa. In it, 2 friends challenge themselves to travel all the way from the Arctic Circle to the tip of Africa, only by train. I'm also a huge fan of Abolish Everything, a live debate show in which comedians argue for the abolition of things like liquid death and sunscreen, while a panel of improvisers known as the Establishment rebut them. And if you enjoy these videos, you'll almost certainly enjoy Real Life Lore's Modern Conflict series. These are fascinating documentaries about wars and other historical events like the fall of ISIS, the manhunt for El Chapo, and the road to 9/11. Because Nebula is audience, not ad-supported, we've designed a premium viewer-first experience, with fantastic iOS and Android apps and no sponsorships. You can even give guest passes to your friends so they can watch along with you. Now, normally, Nebula is $6 a month, but you can get it for 50% off, just $3 each month, by signing up for a year with a link on screen or in the description. Go check out what we've been working on, and you'll be amazed at what you find.